Hello, Googleization Nation, and welcome to Beyond the Office, Building and Leading Remote Teams, a GGG Unleashed podcast with thought leader Bill Keller. You'll get the latest research, trends, and tips on remote work to build and lead cohesive teams around the world for the future of work. Let's begin.
Welcome to Beyond the Office, where we talk about building and leading remote teams. I'm your host, Bill Keller, and on today's episode, we have David Cherry. For over three decades, David has been building, sustaining, and leading volunteer teams. David's leadership style has always been anchored in clarity, ensuring that objectives were not just understood, but embraced by each of the team members. Beyond the art and action of leading teams, David's expertise extends to the intricate world of AVL integration. He has collaborated with AVL integrators, contributing his skill and insight to help some of America's largest churches bring their worship environment vision to life. Currently, David's journey has taken him to the helm of a local faith community, where leadership is not just about managing logistics, but recognizing potential, rising up leaders, and coaching individuals through challenges that life presents. And one of the things that David has brought to our team is that ability to bring out the potential in individuals. And we've since brought David onto our team to coach our team, primarily in India right now, but that's going to be extending to all of the countries that we work in. And we're excited to have you on the show today. Thank you so much for being here, David.
Thank you, Bill. It's great to be with you. Thanks for the honor.
Well, we've only been working together for a few months now, but I've been impressed with your coaching and your leadership style, and I've seen it make improvements in our team. And so I'm excited to ask you some questions about coaching, primarily about coaching today. And I think there's some things that we're going to be talking about, whether you're building and leading remote teams or whether you're coaching a domestic team or whether you're even just, you know, managing yourself. I think you're going to be able to get something out of today's episode. So given your experience in uniting diverse groups of high-performing teams, could you share some of the best practices you found for immediate implementation?
Yeah, Bill, I think for me, it always starts with vision, clarity around a vision. And I think whenever you have something to aim for, then it's easy to know where not to go, right? I often use a map, you know, and here I live in Austin, Texas, and I say if Los Angeles is my destination, my goal, and you come to me and tell me how amazing New Orleans is, and for those of you that don't know the geography, New Orleans is not on the way to Los Angeles, it's easy for me to say no, even though New Orleans is great. It's not taking us where we want to go. So I think establishing clarity around the vision, around the goal, around the objectives is paramount.
I think I just heard a quote, I think it was by Warren Buffett, the thing that separates really successful people from really successful people is that really successful people say no a lot. And so, like just you're saying, is with that vision, you know exactly what you're going to have to say no about, you know, and that's awesome. So in your current coaching, using The Traveler's Gift, that's one of the books that we've talked about in the past. But can you kind of discuss some of the benefits of using a book like this for training both domestic and international teams?
A couple of things there. One is the process, I think, is great because there's accountability, right? And maybe accountability is to answer both of these questions, I think. So whether it's the process or just the benefits that it brings to the team, everybody doing it together. If everybody's doing it together, then everybody's aware of what the buck stops here means, right?
Which is one of the principles in The Traveler's Gift, in case you were wondering. Why he's talking about it. So
yeah. So that means I'm going to take responsibility. I'm not going to shift blame. I'm not going to be blaming others. I'm not going to be pointing my fingers at others. I am taking responsibility. And everybody knows what that means whenever you're all doing that. But then in the process, whenever we discuss the principle, well, the next time we meet together, we can ask, how have you applied this? And, you know, tell me some ways that you've applied this. And it just stays on the mind. It's like, no, I know I'm going to be asked about this, and I'm going to become more aware of when I'm tempted to shift blame, when I'm tempted to blame others. I'm going to be more aware of that. And so once I'm aware of it, I can do something with it, right? You know, another one of the principles is being a person of action. I mean, I can actually do something with it. You know, I'm a fan of the process that we're doing here with the Traveler's Gift, and everybody's doing it together.
One of the things that, and the reasons that I picked this particular book, and it's certainly not the only book, is because it's written in a novel format. It is something that's pretty easily accessible to most people, and they can get many of the concepts, and it's a much easier read. So that's one of the reasons I started. But like you kind of talked about, when you do this in community or everybody goes through this in an organization, it gives you a common language in which to speak about performance or, you know, behaviors. And I think that for me is one of the reasons that I really pushed this through the organization, at least as the foundation for our trainings, because we do other trainings where we're not always going through the same material because not everybody needs the same type of training. But I think it's having that foundation that's super critical that allows us that base to then move forward as a team together. So what are what are some of the key universal concepts or principles essential for building great teams?
Well, one of the things that you mentioned in my intro is, as a leader, looking for gifts in other people. And sometimes I think that there's things inside of us that we don't even know is there, right? But as a leader, having the ability, having the aptitude to be aware and to be looking for those little nuggets inside of somebody and then pulling that out of them. And one of the phrases that I always like to use is I want to see people do things that they never thought they could do before, and then doing it with purpose, right? So really it's a no-brainer that too often we don't really tell people of their growth opportunities. I think so often we also want to be nice to people, and so we're not honest. So, you know, we like to skirt around things. I think that's one of the things that is makes for poor leadership is when I can't really confront people and deal with things because we want to be nice. Well, we want to be sure they're always performing. And I think clear is kind. So often we beat around the bush. It's like, why don't we just come out and tell somebody, hey, here's the mark that I want you to be at, and you're here. So what do we need to do to get you here? And being clear around expectations, I think is critical. That kind of goes back to the clarity around vision, but being clear around the expectations, having milestones along the way, having an environment of encouragement and creativity, allowing a safe space for people to express their ideas. And I think too often we have organizations where people are afraid to speak up. Like, if I share my idea, then I'm going to be ridiculed, people will make fun of me, or, you know, it'll be stupid. I like having creative meetings where it's like, you can come up with the craziest idea in the world and you can just think it's the stupidest thing. I had walls that we write on. And mm-hmm. So you just write your ideas on the wall. And, you know, we have a theme. So, you know, like if we're doing a conference, here's the theme of the conference. Let's come up with some ideas for an opener for the conference. And it can be the most ridiculous thing in the world. That's great. Put it on the wall. Because what happens is sometimes a stupid idea, what we think is a stupid idea, leads to a good idea, leads to a great idea, leads to a life-changing idea. I'm a super fan of creativity and creating environments for that to happen. And then finally, Bill, I would say just champion others. I want to be in an environment where others are championed. You know, it's like when there's successes, man, let's celebrate it. You know, let's celebrate the wins, let's define the wins, and let's celebrate the wins. Anyhow, I think those are some concepts. I think they're universal concepts that probably be applied in any culture, any organization.
So how have you adapted, and I'm not sure, maybe you kind of answered this a little bit before, but how have you adapted your coaching or communications for effectiveness in working with overseas teams?
I think that you really hit the nail on the head with there's things inside of all of us, right? That, like value, for example, I want to know that I'm making a difference. And I think anybody that we have on our team, we want them to have that. You know, we probably don't want somebody on our team that, like, we're the people that we're coaching, then I think that's received. And, you know, you can make mistakes about culture, and they even might have the wherewithal to respond to that. You know, that's not right or whatever. But I think that bringing value to others, we all respond to that. Whenever someone is bringing value to me, I respond to that. I mean, you having me on this podcast brings value to me, And oh my goodness, I want to be here. I want to serve you. So, you know, there's just something in us that whenever someone's bringing value to us, that we respond to that.
And I think it goes back to the adage, they don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. That's really what you're talking about is, you know, that bringing that value to them, letting them know that they're important, they're valued is really critical. And I think that most people probably know, but they need to be reminded of, you know, when we move into these different settings, you know, and whether we're working overseas or whether we're working domestically, these are all things that you can use these kind of universal concepts. But I think there's a couple of things that I found is like you talked about being curious, asking a lot of questions, understanding that you're going to make some mistakes. I think, there was a movie about the tango, you know, you get tangled up, you just tango on, you know? And so in the same way as is like, don't get caught up. If you make a mistake, you know, just admit it frankly and move on and, you know, bring it to their attention. And, you know, with that humbleness, I think opens that relationship up even more. And so I appreciate that. So
yeah, that's a really good point. Just the humbleness, you know, that's like, I think as leaders, being a humble leader, as that Patrick Lencioni has a book, I think it's The Ideal Team Player. It's called Hungry, Humble, and Smart. And at humble, I think is one of the qualities of a great leader. One that people want to respond to, one that people will respond to. So that's really, really a great point.
So you kind of talked about the book there, but what's a piece of advice or tools that you would recommend for those who are starting and to build and lead remote teams?
Oh, goodness. I think finding others that have done it successfully is one thing, or even somebody that hasn't done it successfully. I mean, you could learn what not to do,
yeah.
Right? So certainly I think that having an experienced tour guide is certainly one good way. I've been a part of several remote teams. I was working remotely back in 2015.
That was before it was cool.
That was before it was cool. And, you know, learned a lot of things what not to do. But whenever you have teams that are working remotely, I think one of the biggest challenges is making it feel like it's a collaborative effort, that it's integrated, that you are part of the team, particularly if you have an office where you have people gathering and then you have others that don't come into the office. How do you make them feel like they are part of the team? And I think you guys are probably really great at this, where you're in constant communication. And so even having weekly, if not daily, check-ins so that everybody knows what everybody's doing, not to get too granular in that. But then I think that, like I was working with one team, they were all in one office and I was the only remote one outside of that office. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you know, 1,000 miles away. So it wasn't like I could easily get there. But whenever they have a pizza party, you know, we're having pizza over, you know, we're on Zoom and we're having a meeting and they're having a pizza party, they deliver a pizza to me. I mean, how awesome
That's
is
cool.
that, you know?
That's awesome.
And otherwise, I'm feeling like I'm totally left out of this. You know, anyhow, so one of the best resources, I think, is having an experienced tour guide. Certainly, there's some books out there on remote and anymore, lots of podcasts on remote work. So, yeah, I think there's a lot of resources. And of course, working remotely is, like you alluded to earlier, it's a very common thing today. I work with one CEO who is of a marketing firm, and at the beginning of COVID, they closed their office and like, we're never coming back. All of our workforce is going to be remote, you know, and they come into a co-working space periodically to all meet together. But, you know, I mean, the world has changed for sure. And certainly a lot easier to do remote work today.
Yeah, and a couple of things that I've seen to kind of add on to that, as far as building the remote team, you talked about how like the organization sent you a pizza and, you know, got you involved in more group communities or group efforts there. But I think it's also important to train the individual when they come into the organization to make sure that they're joining in as well. Not just, you know, us including them, but giving them the permission and also kind of the mandate. You need to become part of this organization. It's your responsibility, pushing it a little bit back on them. Not that you're not going to do your part as well as an organization, but I think getting to the people and saying, I just had somebody come on board yesterday and I was encouraging her, hey, get involved in the WhatsApp group, right? Send people messages. In the early days, you know, talk to your manager. See who you should be talking with. See who you should be setting up meetings with. You know, even though you might not have a lot of interaction with them on a daily basis moving forward, but it's a great way to get initiated into the office and into the culture. And so guiding them through that process, but also putting some of that effort back onto them is something that I found to be super valuable.
Yeah, that's really good. What you're doing there is you're setting clarity around the expectations, right? And you're not to be a spectator here. You're to be a contributor. Yeah, that's very good.
Yeah, even in, I think it was Vince Lombardi, even 50-yard line tickets in the game of life don't interest me. I've come to play. So to kind of wrap us up here, what are one or two pieces of advice for someone that you would give somebody who's considering venturing into building global remote teams?
I would say listen to this podcast. And because I think we've already covered an awful lot of that. I think being very intentional and creating an environment, and like you just said, is where everybody's a contributor. Like it's so easy to be on a Zoom call and just be a listener, just be a spectator. And you know, let's face it, it can get a little clunky sometimes. Mm-hmm. You know, speaking over one another and, you know, seeing those funny videos, you know, but be intentional about it. And I think have the vision for it, make it clear and even establish, you know, here's where we want to be here. Here's where we want to be at this time. Have milestones with, you know, with time, when we want to do it. Be collaborating with others that are doing it successfully. I think that's, I'm a huge fan. I love relationships. So that's where I learn probably the most is through conversation. And I do read a lot, but I probably learn the most through having good conversations. And of course, these days, you can have great conversations with somebody on the other side of the world, right?
Yeah.
I think the intentionality is an awesome thing. And I love that word. And I think too many people think it's just going to happen. And, you know, they need to be intentional about the process. They need to be intentional about their communications. I think people that we've seen that separate and say they're starting and building remote teams, and the people that do it good and the people that do it great is the second portion of what you talked about, is they're incorporating them into their environment and into their culture and into their meetings. And I've seen some people do an awesome job with that. And it's made such a difference because, again, it makes them feel valued. It's, you know, oftentimes I think in this world they think of global remote staffing and think, oh, this is cheap labor, overseas labor. And that's not really what it's about. It's about bringing in new vision, bringing in new talents. You know, sometimes that is cost cutting, but that's often to the benefit of the people here in the States. And they might not see that at first, but, you know, we have a fourfold mission basically at Staffing Global. And that is, we have to help four parties. We have to have the business owner. We have to help the employee that's our employee. We have to help our clients' employees, and we have to help our clients' clients. You know, if all four of those parties are being served, then I think we have a great opportunity to make a real difference and a real change. And so that's what we're always shooting for. And so I've seen these people that are doing this incorporation. They're taking the team, they're valuing the team from whether it's India, Colombia, or any of the other countries that we're working with, and they incorporate them into their process. And it just makes an incredible difference in, you know, the performance and the integration of the teams. So that's great advice. Well, I really appreciate your time today. Is there anything else in closing that you'd like to share with us? Anything that you'd encourage us as we head out here today?
Yeah. Well, Bill, I think I would just say that I admire your vision for what you're doing there at Staffing Global. And I'm grateful to be a small part of that. I think that what you're just talking about there, let's say, first of all, working remotely is not going away, right? This is not going away. It's here to stay. And so getting this figured out and doing it right is imperative if you're going to be successful at it. But I think you're taking it not just a step, but a leap forward in the global staffing, the global remote, and introducing new creativity. And I love that. I love to introduce fresh eyes, fresh voice into something that they're not locked into the way that we've always done things, right? And my team knows that that's one of the phrases that I don't ever want to hear. We don't do it that way because that's because we've never done it that way, or we don't do it that way because this is the way we've always done it. You know, it's like, I don't ever want to hear that. I always want to hear something that's fresh, something that's new. And I think whenever you're working with a global staff, that probably comes a lot easier.
Yeah, it's you definitely get a different perspective. It broadens your, you know, the ideas that you get. And I think it just helps you to make different connections in ways that, you know, just working domestically, it's a little bit hard to do. So, well, I appreciate your time today. Thank you for joining us. And thank you for joining us here on Beyond the Office. And we look forward to seeing you next time. So if you'd like to learn more about remote staffing, feel free to message us for our free guide, The 7 Deadly Sins of Remote Staffing, and how to make sure that you don't commit them and you're successful in your remote hiring journey.
That's it for today's episode. Thank you for tuning in and digging deep into what's ahead for the future of remote work. We'll be back next month with Bill for another episode. But until then, please visit Staffing Global's website for additional resources at staffdifferent.com. And remember, don't let the shift hit your plans.